What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Like I said in that intro, this is the last. Is this phase three?
Yes.
I don't even know. This is.
It's phase three. Yes.
And then is training camp phase four?
However, no, there is no phase four. However, teams are allowed to keep their rookies for a few more weeks. It's part of the rookie development program.
Is that new?
No, it's not new. It's never just talked about. But they'll stay behind and for a couple of weeks usually, and they'll do like stuff in the community. I'm sure they're going to do like classroom stuff. I don't believe they're allowed to practice. But yes, there's something called the rookie development program.
Interesting. But yes, last week of OTAs. Yes, I know that.
So yeah, you can coach all the rookies. Okay.
Anyway.
Hey. If nine play, I'd be surprised. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Nine rookies playing. I think we're going to reach that.
Let's talk about that. We'll get to that. But like I was saying, last week of OTAs, the boys will be there tomorrow. So Wednesday when we are live at the same time, we'll get a little bit of insight on what they saw, what they can tell us. Again, they can't tell us everything until you guys see it with your own eyes. Real quick, though, shout out to the sponsor, Prize Picks Play 5. You get 50 instantly with our promo code HMA. We still got the NBA Finals. Knicks up to nothing. Going to be interesting to see how they play back at the Garden. Also, if you didn't know, we have the audio version over on Spotify, Apple Plus. You can go check us out there. And if you want to become a member, hit that join button next to the subscribe button. But also, don't forget to subscribe. We are now at 14,100 and some change subscribers. We appreciate the hell out of all of you. So let's go into, that's a good topic that we can jump into.
Can I chime in here real quick?
Do it.
No.
I'm going to do it anyway. Let me just read the little paragraph from the CBA pertaining to said rookie football development programs. Each club may hold a rookie football development program 5 days per week for a period of 7 weeks commencing on or about May 16th. Wow. So if you do the math, that takes you to like first week of July or something. Mm-hmm. During this period, no mandatory or voluntary activities can be held on weekends, with the exception of the club's one post-draft rookie mini-camp. Mm-hmm. During a club's rookie football development program, players may only participate in club activities for a maximum of 8 hours per day. Players may participate in on-field activities for no more than 3.5 hours per day. The on-field time limits described above shall begin as soon as position coaches begin to coach a player or players on the field. So that's your
rookie. What are they getting paid?
Oh, you want that? Hold on. That's the next section. Hold on. In addition to reimbursements and payments provided by the club pursuant to Article 7, Section 5E, each rookie player shall receive the following amounts per day for any workouts or classroom instruction in which he participates pursuant to a club's rookie football development program, provided the player fulfills the club's reasonable workout requirements. For this year, now it'd be
$179. $179 per day.
Yep.
That's how much the players are making?
Yes. Y'all think they per
7 weeks.
So $900 a week. Okay. It's a pay cut from what they were making in college, but it's something.
There you go. Big time.
Yeah.
I want to know who's going to stay and do that.
4,500 everybody.
You say that's not voluntary.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa, back up. Now that's a wrench in it. So that's they have to come?
It is what it is.
So if they do it, so if the team does decide to do it, you have to come. But not every team does it? Or does every team do it?
I don't know. First time I've ever heard of it.
You're asking too many questions. I have
in Pandora's box right now. I'm so interested.
Yeah, it's just new. I had no idea. I never knew this.
Yeah. Wow.
I haven't found where it says mandatory or voluntary. I'm going to imagine it's kind of mandatory.
Yeah, like if they say, listen, we're doing but that's this.
Good, though. They learn the playbook.
For you, but most rookies oftentimes complain that their bodies are, because they've been doing draft, combine, workout. A lot of times they're in the best shape of their life. but it's a it's a physical grind to get to this point. And that's why you see rookies hit the rookie wall by November. And they're done. They're stick a fork in them.
But dude, even if they get on the field, they certainly wouldn't like stress them out very, very much.
I'm not saying that they would. I mean, it's mostly football activities and weightlifting and probably a film study session. Okay. That's not nothing too, you know, a little community service here and there. It's nothing too hard. It's babysitting. It's football babysitting. But, you know, and understand some of these coaches, they want their break too. Some of these coaches go live somewhere else for the summer.
Yeah, but we need it.
We need would go on trips to Africa or Asia or all sorts of exotic. Yeah.
But we're in a position we need it, though.
Understand that, and me and Pupar feel this too. Once July 20-something hits, my life is over. Like, I get a bye week. Everything is scheduled. Like, everything is scheduled, planned. I know where I'm going to be. And it's football till January 1st. And the players are even worse because they got to be in the building for 8 hours a day. I don't. So, I mean, people always wonder why players get in trouble during this break. It's because they feel like they're about to do a bid. They're about to go to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite weekend out is the weekend before camp. Cause I go to my favorite establishments, and y'all know what I see. Y'all know who I see. Y'all know what I see, and I will be up there with about 10 of them.
Lemon pepper wings, I don't know.
Lemon pepper wings.
That's when you're in South Florida. Here's the thing, Omar. Hold on a second before we start going and grabbing tissues here for the poor players who get locked into the facility from July through January. Also, once the season ends before the start of the off-season program. They have a nice chunk of time off. And then here now they're going to have, the vets are going to have like about 6 weeks off. So again,
five.
Let's make it six, but okay.
No, it's five. Because remember, they got to show up that week. They report and do check-ins and their conditioning drill and their physical and all kinds of
things. That's the start of camp, but whatever. Okay, you want to be
Yeah. That before the start of camp. I mean, you got to show up.
You do.
It's like orientation. You got to get your equipment and you got to move in. And fortunately, we don't do training camp somewhere else. Thank God. I would hate to be going. I've been to Oxnard.
Okay.
I'll pass.
Are you serious? Oh, I love California.
That's where we had the white powdery substance and there's a lot of things that you could get involved in when you're trapped in Oxnard.
Wait, I thought Miami was the only place that players could get in trouble because of all that.
It's California. Miami, California, LA, I mean Vegas, and then New York. No, Atlanta too, a little bit too.
Not Texas or New Orleans. No trouble to be had in New Orleans, right? No.
Have you ever been out in New Orleans?
I've been to New Orleans. Yes.
It's a little ghetto.
You can get in trouble in New Orleans. You can get in trouble anywhere if you really want to.
You can get in trouble anywhere
if you really try.
I mean, it's hard at Green Bay to get in trouble at the bowling alley. I'm just saying at the buffet.
Buffalo.
That buffet be popping. I'm on Saturday night. I'm not even gonna front. The Appleton buffet, that thing is popping over there. They got a little hold down going and everything.
Yeah. Trouble in Green Bay, I don't know. Pittsburgh too. No.
No, actually, you know what? In Green Bay, we're around the facility, they built like this big structure. It's like a mall. It's like
the hill.
I don't know. It's around the stadium. It's like a big old like mall. So that's where everybody does everything, apparently. You know, I haven't been over there. I'd rather get in, get out. Get in, get out.
Man, you got to deal with that again in December.
No, I don't. I'm not going.
you're delegating the trip to Isaiah.
No? I already told him he's going.
Isaiah's going?
Yes, Isaiah's going. Enjoy Green Bay.
Dress warm, Isaiah. You're going to Green Bay.
You're like, listen, young buck, you're going.
Hey, everybody got to pay their dues.
I ain't going to Green Bay. Oh, man. I'm going to tweet him. I'm be like, walk back. Or I'm going to send him a picture. I'm like, walk backwards. Omar brings up a very good topic just before it. Can we see 9 draft players? Now, are we talking drafted or all together drafted rookies. Undrafted?
Rookies. I don't care if rookies, you're drafted rookies. Or undrafted.
We see nine of them now starting as in like how many games?
No, not starting.
Just playing.
Special teams. I don't care.
Yeah.
Injury backups. Like they got to play in like six games or more.
Yeah.
Well, Proctor will. Chris Johnson will.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Douglas will.
Who?
Caleb Douglas. Okay. He'll play. He'll be a rotational guy.
Sure.
Kazmarek will.
Kazmarek will.
Chris Bell when he get healthy.
No, he won't.
Kevin Coleman. I think he'll be a rotational guy. Kevin Coleman.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
So we're at five.
Don't forget Kyle Lewis. Yeah,
I was thinking like Kyle Lewis maybe, but he also has to like compete with
Dotson. He's supposed to be the big nickel. He's supposed to be the big nickel, so you got to include him.
Okay.
Then you got
J-Rod.
Rodriguez, special teams, and injury fill-in.
Oh, God, okay. That scares me. Reminds me of
Raekwon McMillan.
Yeah.
We've already made that determination.
No.
Remember his very first on the ever first playing
special teams.
Oh, I know. Like, yeah, the very, very, very,
very. First.
He wasn't that great of a player anyway. To be honest, let's be honest about it.
He shouldn't have been drafted to Miami. He was brought into the wrong system.
You might be right. We don't have.
No, remember the system changed. So that's not fair.
Because Gase was the type of guy who would draft players and then force
and them. And then not only that, but there was what's the linebacker's name that didn't like me?
Pick one.
All of them. Went to Pittsburgh.
Huh?
Kevin Burnett.
No, not that one. Not that one. Not that one.
He didn't like you either.
Yeah, he didn't like me either. No, the one, he was a Flores guy.
Yeah, that one. Jerome
Baker. Kyle Van Noy.
No, not that one. That one either. Yes, he didn't like me either. Not that one. Another one. The other one. At Flores.
Landon Roberts.
Went to Houston.
Landon Roberts.
Landon Roberts. That's it. Yeah. Remember Landon Roberts got here and immediately like took his job and became the starter and was Mr. I got in trouble for saying he was Flores's
snitch.
Oh, I didn't say that. Yeah, I did say that. But that's what I got in trouble for. He was not a snitch. Me and him, we had a beef because he didn't like that. He was Flores's conciliere.
He followed him from New England, right? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was. Could you see DJ Campbell starting because Austin Jackson goes down, Proctor goes to right tackle, DJ Campbell goes left
active off on a regular basis? Yes. Could I see him starting? I'm not sure he's going to get a chance to unseat Jonah. He should have a chance.
He's a right guard. You can't see him being.
I can't tell you what he is.
You kind of did.
I did not. He could be playing tackle for all you know.
I'm stuck on this Chris Bell immediate. He not playing. What's up with that?
No. Chris Bell is going to spend more time on IR. I mean, on PUP.
I think they'll slow cook him. There's no need to rush him.
He's slow cooking, bro. He's
not a game this season.
Maybe November, we reevaluate the situation. We open up his window to practice and see how he looks. Home game?
Playoff run? Okay.
All right. Let me look up.
Like, we don't even see him running. You got to start running before we even can factor you in.
Like, maybe the Detroit game, November 8th at home?
Let's just understand we are redshirting Chris Bell this year. Let's digest that in our spirit.
Bears game, Chargers game, like home.
He'll probably have his window opened in November.
Yeah.
Because remember, he's on the same timetable as Chubb when Chubb got hurt. And Chubb came back in November, but he said, I wasn't right. I wasn't all the way back to where I was. And no matter who you talk to, when they come back from those knee injuries, those ACL injuries, they'll always tell you, I was better with my second year than I was coming back. I thought I was healthy. what I wasn't, blah, blah, blah. I've heard that for like 20 years. I'm sure Poupart has done the same. It's don't rush it, especially when your job is to cut and change directions quickly. Like, and as a rookie, you put out bad film out there. That's how your career begins. That's where you are.
For the undrafted guys, the only one I can really see making a difference or at least playing is Mason Rager.
And he's got to contribute on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sleep on Lewis Moore.
I was going to say Lewis
Moore. Yeah, Lewis Moore. He could start. You know, I don't know. He could start.
I can
Lewis Moore, Lewis Moore's got some ability. He can meet if he plays on, if he contributes on special teams on a regular basis. I think anybody can get a special teams job. And if you get a special teams job, you got a chance to start. Like whoever is the best special teams contributor on in that safety cornerback unit, those are the guys that are going to make the team and they're going to play.
I think Taft will play on special teams. I don't know. I don't know about defense, but I think he'll play on special teams.
Who?
Taft. Mike Taft.
Okay, yeah. I think he's redshirting.
Mm. I feel like whatever happened with Brooks is going to dictate a lot.
He's got Michael Taft is going to be one hell of a playmaker, and we'll see that in training camp. If he's getting balls here and there and whatever, making things happen, sure. But he's this big.
TD was making a good point there before you chimed in. Go ahead, TD. What were you saying?
Oh, I think whatever happens with Brooks is really gonna send ripple effects.
There ain't nothing happening with Brooks.
If he gets traded,
he's not getting traded. He's not what Dallas is looking for.
Are we sure about that?
Yes. Dallas. Dallas needs an alpha green dot. Brooks is not. Brooks is an evolving alpha. He's definitely not a green dot.
Except Brooke joins the Cowboys and he immediately upgrades their linebacking core by, I don't know, 173%.
What are you requesting from Dallas for that?
I was about to look up what their draft picks are.
Question. A third?
Yeah. So no, you wouldn't entertain it for anything less than a third. Absolutely.
You'd have had that conversation already, and I'm not paying you a third for a guy on a 1-year contract. Sorry.
Yeah.
I can get him next year for nothing.
Part of the equation.
In
this deal, and the Dolphins weren't going to make that deal.
Where are they cap wise as well? Because they'd have to be able to make room for him financially, and it's not happening, folks.
With the Cowpokes? Here's the thing: Brooks's cap number is going to come down when you sign him to an extension because his money is mostly base salary.
It's the most friendly contract. When you do a new one, you can first year pay $1 million. I mean, it's depending on the signing bonus, but yeah, I mean it's
more dead cap. Okay,
it's an appealing con. Well, why would we have dead cap? Does he have guarantees?
That's not what creates dead cap. That's money paid.
The cap doesn't matter, TD, remember?
The cap isn't real, so you're right.
If you trade him now, the dead cap is like 2.3, Omar. That's nothing in the least. Which is why you had to wait until June 1st. Otherwise, it would have been like 8.5.
And yeah,
it's also June 8th. His cap number is 10.9, and it's mostly base salary. If they're going to extend him, why has this not been done yet?
And it's easy.
No, because you're not paying him top five linebacker pay, and Brooks wants top five linebacker play.
Okay, then you're gonna have a standoff where Jordan Brooks is gonna be forced to go into a contract year and have the specter of a nasty injury, cough cough cough, Connor Williams hanging over his head.
Absolutely. And if you don't want to do it, then you take 80 cents on the dollar.
Cowboys are at 8.2 million in cap space.
Hmm?
Yeah, 8.2.
22?
They have 8.2? Okay, that's pretty decent money. Yeah, and as Poupart says, his cap number is going to go down, but I don't see Dolphins trading him. You got to have somebody serve as a leader around here.
But I don't understand why he's in the plan. This is the same Zach Sealer argument that I have. He shouldn't be a part of the plan if you're really retooling.
You know somebody's got to lead these young, green –
that's what Jeff Hafley's for.
Barely wipe their cheeks. You do realize that, right?
That's what Jeff Hafley's for.
No,
it don't. Who's leading the wide receiver room?
nobody. That's
my exactly. But that's the common theme.
The common theme is nobody's leading the quarterback room. Nobody's leading the wide receiver.
Well, Malik Willis is leading the quarterback room.
Nobody's leading the tight end room. We got offensive line leader. We got defensive line leader. We got linebacker leader. We don't have an edge rush leader. And we don't have a cornerback leader. And we don't have a safety leader.
That's who Josh Uche is leading that edge defense room. Josh Uche.
Please. I
bet you he's leading that edge
defense. Please. Josh Uche wet behind the ears, too.
He's a
7-year veteran. You think, okay, we'll see.
The theme, though. It ain't a lot of guys leading room. So what's the difference? Go ahead, move on. Let these young guys start getting experience.
You need somebody to lead the team. Somebody got to lead the team.
His name is Malik Willis.
Somebody with experience as a leader got to lead the team.
His name is Malik Willis.
Some people are just natural.
Alan, say it louder. Say it louder, Alan.
I don't think that statement.
People are just natural born.
I don't think that statement was made to claim that Malik Willis was a leader. Is that what you're claiming, Alan Pubard?
I think he's got a lot more leadership qualities than certain other players who have been around the Dolphins facility in the past several years.
This shall not be named.
I didn't specify a position. You guys automatically jumped to.
No, he did.
Let's move on, folks. You don't have any proof that he's a leader. You have no evidence that he's been a leader.
All the testimonials coming out of Green Bay, and may I remind you, I'm going to say this again: the Green Bay Packers, after he signed as a free agent with the Dolphins, on their social media thing, put out a thank you, Malik. Post, which is sure teams do that all the time. Teams don't do that ever for a guy who started 3 games for them in the 2 years he was there. So that tells you
behind the scenes,
the man's
your family organization
commanded respect.
They're thanking him for the compensatory pick that they're going to get next year.
Oh my
god! Are they going to get one? Were they going to get like a fifth?
They'll get one. He got a salary.
Yeah, but it depends on the totality of their free agency.
Yeah, but they lost a lot of players. They lost Quay Walker. They lost. The Green Bay way is to build through development and draft. And
they're projected to get a fourth from Malik Willis.
Yeah, they thanking him for that fourth round pick. Thank you, Malik.
He was a non-leader, not a factor, not well-liked.
You don't know if he was a leader. Let's calm down on the leadership talk.
All I can tell you is I have read public stuff said about him, and I also talk to folks who cover the Packers, and universally he is.
And you know what Jeff Hafton said? I don't want him to lead. I want him to learn his playbook.
I want him to learn
the offense.
Because he already know what he's capable of. Now let's dial that back and let's focus on this. Because we already know that's what you are. Okay. We already know. We got to dial it back, actually. That's how much of a leader you are. Yeah. Omar, I've heard three.
I'm not saying that he's not. I don't know.
I've heard 3 interviews with him, and he's a leader.
You can tell this by interviews, huh?
Absolutely. There's a confidence you speak with. There's a confidence. There's a aura. There is a, like, he is the perfect guy that, you know how last time, like last quarterback, we, oh my gosh, he's such a good guy and this and that.
You don't know
he's
that.
He's a good guy too, but at the same token, he's about business. Everything that comes out of his mouth is about business. He almost made me cry when he said, you know, these fans, man, they've been waiting on a winner for so long, and all we can do is do all we can to give that to them.
Thank you for that.
We haven't heard that.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
They're dying for a playoff win. It's been 20 years. I want to bring it to them.
Somebody on Twitter give it. Brought this comparison to me, and I want to bring it to the collective because I think it's very on point from a talent standpoint, from an arm standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint. Justin Fields. And the problem is we don't know about the processing ability and skills of Malik Willis. Oh, we don't know.
We actually
think about it. From an athlete, I haven't even seen him run full speed. So I don't even know where he is as an athlete. But this whole
you never saw him in his clips from Green Bay scramble out of the pocket.
I saw him scramble. These two right here. These two that have been surgically repaired with LASIK twice. I want to see it with those. With these.
Yeah, we need a refund, Omar. We need a refund on that. Omar, I actually saw that, the Justin Fields comparison.
Yes.
From an athletic standpoint, you can make a comparison. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. The last 2 weeks, I think we have actually been doing Malik Willis a disservice and his passing abilities. See, we keep on putting it because Tua was an accurate quarterback putting it in that spot, but he was accurate. He was a 10 out of 10 accuracy, right?
Nine out of ten. Let's dial it down.
Yeah. But what I get frustrated is we'll look at an 8 out of 10. Because we're comparing it to Tua's 9 out of 10, we make that 8 look like a 6. Justin Fields was a 5 out of 10 with his passing.
That's fair.
Malik Willis is an 8, though. He's not.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yes. Yes.
I saw more good throws from Malik Willis in that one game against Baltimore last December than I've seen from Justin Fields his entire time in the NFL. That dude is not an NFL passer.
He's a really good passer. Malik Willis. The problem is we think that there's this big gap between great and really good. He's a really good passer. He can throw the football. Justin Fields ain't even close.
Justin Fields can throw the football.
No, man, Justin Fields can't throw the ball. That's the problem.
He can throw the football. He can't throw it accurately.
Yeah, but the accuracy is so bad that
they can't read the defense either.
Well, that too. But Malik Willis
and wants to run. When he's feeling pressure, Malik, what does he do when he's feeling pressure?
Run. But again, he can throw the football at a higher level and process at a higher level.
You have no proof of this.
I do. I mean, all you can do is go off of what you do have, which is a small sample size, but he shows it in that. And the problem is Malik Willis doesn't have any 5-6 characteristics. He doesn't have any. He's like the epitome of the 7-8 player that's going to always play solid enough to not bomb it. He's not going to bomb it. This isn't the Tennessee version. He's developed to be a really good quarterback. And now we just got to determine if he's great or elite. That's what we're waiting to see.
Quick question. Very, very unscientific. If we were to ask the 32 general managers around the NFL, salary not being a factor here, how many do you think take Justin Fields over Malik Willis?
30 would take Malik.
Is Chris Greer still a GM?
I disagree with you on that. I disagree with you on that. While we know what Justin Fields has done in two bad organizations,
Steelers are a bad organization now.
Oh, he's been on three organizations.
Last I checked, the Bears were 13-4 last year.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Good organization, but
one bad organization.
Two bad or Bears were bad when he was a starting quarterback.
Because he made them bad.
I'm gonna say yeah.
All right. Okay. Their quarterback was bad last 2 years ago, and then he got good because of coaching. So. I'm not a Justin Fields fan. Like y'all know my style. I don't want no running quarterback. Don't run like you got chicken with your head cut off. I'm not interested. But I do see the comparisons, and we have not proven anything yet. When we go to the exhibition season, and I see quick decisions and third down conversions and red zone execution and sharp passing. And you're right, you make a valid point, TD. I am looking at it from the spectrum of I had an 8 accuracy quarterback, and now I feel like I'm wearing bubbles, and it's like now the arm is superior, but the quick decisions, the accuracy, I need to see it.
You know what I'll give you to consider, Omar? I want you to think about this with Justin Fields and Malik. Justin Fields looks to run. Malik looks to extend the play and keep his head upfield And if it's not there, he runs. But he will throw as he's scrambling to get out of trouble.
He does, but he's got a whole lot of running numbers and a whole lot of third down conversions with the legs, which is fine. That if you go and do it, do it. But I don't want to hear nothing about he can't hold up physically because he's hurt by week 8 because he runs too much.
That's just scarring from the last guy that you're dealing with.
I didn't want the last guy to run. You know how I feel about running quarterbacks. They will eventually break. That the only one that has not broken is Josh Allen. That's it. They going to eventually break. The question is, when will it be? And those quarterbacks have to become pocket passers. They have to become disciplined pocket passers that scramble in select moments.
Has Malik reached his ceiling?
No, not even close.
Not even close.
Why would it be stylistically? Are we so sure that a better comp for Malik Willis is not Justin Fields but Lamar Jackson?
He wasn't that scrambler in college.
Who? I'm sorry, what?
Malik Willis was not that scrambler in college. Sorry.
Yes, he was. He put up rushing numbers.
Against Liberty.
Yeah, but again, that's what he was. You know his rushing numbers in college?
Because Lamar Jackson right now is not necessarily looking to run all the time. But he's got that in his arsenal if the play breaks down. That's why, to me, stylistically, and I think the accuracy is also a lot.
All right, my apologies.
Yeah, you looked it up.
You see what I see? I did not know. 944 yards, 14 touchdowns, 878 yards, 13 touchdowns.
That's what he was. I mean, better than these guys we talking about as MVPs.
If he run like that, my bad. I haven't seen him run yet, so I can't.
We talking about 10 games, he putting up 944 and 891 and 13 touchdowns and 14 touchdowns.
Use your iPad. Sorry, yeah. I'm parenting right now.
I could see what Alan's saying though too, with the stylistically.
Are we going to be okay with that much scrambling?
If we win, sure.
Why did you sign him? If you take that element away out of his game, you didn't pay him, guarantee him $45 million over the next 2 years to be a pure pocket passer. Sorry,
it reminds me of Josh Allen when who's the offensive coordinator before Joe Brady?
The one that he hated.
Dayball.
Not Dayball.
Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey tried to make Josh Allen a pocket quarterback.
As he should
be. And he did not play well. Remember that stretch? He was not good. And then Joe Brady came in, and he was just, go back to doing what you were doing. And look how well. You don't want to really, got Joe
Brady the head coaching job after he snaked his head coach.
Yeah. So you don't want
to Joe Brady been shady since LSU days, by the way. Joe Brady been one of the most shadiest characters in coaching. But nobody will lie to that.
Maneuvering his way.
I know. Hey,
but in this conversation though, notice something. Guys like Lamar, guys like Josh Allen, they're never the 5,000, 4,500, 4,000 passing yard guys.
Lamar is.
No, he's not. His typical passing yards is 3,500 yards. That's pretty typical. That's what they do every season.
Lamar Jackson.
Go look at his MVP season.
Now, of course, his career high is 41.72.
That was career high. I'm talking about the norm.
That was
2 years ago.
He only has two other seasons with more than 3,000.
And two last, other?
Yep. And last year in 13 games, it was 254. It wasn't even
these 200. These guys average 3,500 yards a year passing.
Josh Allen the equation, because y'all know Lamar was broken down last year.
We're talking about his whole career, though. This is pretty typical.
Yeah, two-time MVP. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. His MVP season, 35 or something like that, 100 yards.
Here's the stat. His career average passing yards per game is 194.9.
When Josh Allen from 2020 to 2023 had over 42. It was 4,500, 4,400, 4,200, 4,300.
Jesus Lord.
And what was his MVP season?
When was that? 2024? That,
no, 2 years ago.
24.
37. Yeah. In third place voting last year? What was it, 36?
36.
And when you put that in contrast with their rushing yards, you'll see the correlation. And even in those seasons where he had 4,000 passing yards, the rushing yards went down. But where are they most impactful? Running that football and critical downs.
Okay, everybody not 6'4", 260 pounds.
Actually, it was his worst year rushing. 2025, 579 yards. 2024, 531. His best rushing was 2022, 762. And 2021, 763.
Yeah, see, I thought Josh Allen had a 900 rushing yard season.
Nope.
Maybe I'm
that's crazy that Josh Allen.
Maybe it's hurt.
His lowest passing yard season, one of, he gets MVP. But when he threw for 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, mm-hmm. They went 13-3.
It's situational. It's about coming up big when you need to.
And probably a low completion percentage, because Josh Allen got a low completion percentage for his career.
No, that year where he threw for the most, it was 69.2 completion percentage.
No, I'm talking about in general. He's always down under 65.
Yeah, it's 64. His career, 64. He's been under
good.
65. Yeah, most of his career.
Yeah, Malik was 85 last year. I'm just saying.
You think he breaks 65 this year?
Huh?
You think he breaks 65 this year?
I think he'll have 70.
Average. Yeah. Average.
Yeah. I think he'll have about a 70%.
Not a chance. I'd wager your firstborn on that.
No. he'll have 70% this year. Yeah. Remember, he checks down too. Remember.
There ain't nothing but check downs around here.
Mm-hmm. As long as he's moving the sticks, right?
Yeah, you're right. With his legs.
2024, that who shall not be named had a 72.9 completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of check downs, and speaking of never taking a shot downfield, because that might be an incomplete pass, going to hurt the completion percentage.
Oops, well, 2023, he threw it a lot down the field, and he had 69.3.
Should it be a 40-yard comeback or a 50-yard?
Y'all trying to provoke me.
Which one should we call it, Doug? A 40-yard comeback or a 50-yard check down? Which one should we call it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, let's move on, please.
Anyway, let's get to some prize picks. We got the NBA final. Is it the finals? Is that what it's called? It's not the championship.
Yes, it is. It's the NBA finals. This is it. Everything is on the line.
Why is it finals plural? There's only one final.
Well, they said
there's a minimum of four final games.
I know, but it's a final matchup.
You find the losing battle, TD.
It's the Stanley Cup final, not the Stanley Cup final.
Well, these are the finals. So I guess. So anyway, listen, man, I've been sticking with the stars on this. Jalen Brunson, Victor Wembanyama. 27, I got him having a big game coming back to make this a series tonight. Jalen Brunson's always going to do him. He's probably going to have 30 tonight. And I'm loving it, man. I'm going to be honest. I'm loving these finals or final. I'm really loving it because you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Jordan era basketball, where the referees allow you to play. They allow you to foul. You got to earn everything that you get. And it's making basketball fun again, in my opinion. So I'm riding with Jalen Brunson and Wimby to show up and show out and have big games tonight. I can't tell you who I got in this, because if the Knicks win this, they're going to win the finals, but I'm also going to make a bold proclamation. If the Spurs win this game, they're going to win the finals, all right? I think this is the deciding game tonight that's going to tell you where the momentum is going to lie. But these are the players that I'm rolling with. So go over to Prize Picks. Use code HMA. If you play $5, you're going to get $50 instantly in lineups. And supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. But play responsibly.
Oh, it's going to be interesting. How many teams have lost being up to nothing?
Just win a game. Just win a game. Focus on winning the game. I'm shocked that the series has gone the way that it has gone. I thought we were entering the year of Wimby.
We've seen this before. We've seen road teams win the first two and then the road team win the second two. We've seen craziness.
When was the last time that happened? I'm drawing a blank.
I have to look it up, but it's happened. It's happened not too long ago.
2016, Golden State blew a 2-0 series. And then in 2006, the Mavericks lost four straight games after taking a 2-0 against the Heat.
Yeah. And, it better not happen. But Golden State only lost because they suspended Draymond to help LeBron out. That's all. Just saying.
Man. You got Cleveland a champ.
I live right across the water from New York. If they lose,
what's it like in New York now? Are they crazy?
The whole area is nuts. The radio stations, everything. It's nuts. They were supposed to have a viewing party outside of the Garden,
and they canceled it.
They can't. And I'm not going to say why because we're not talking about that on this channel. And they're pissed. New York is pissed. So. You got to, and they're telling them you got to be there 2 hours earlier. And like,
it's
a big game.
They got to win. Just win the game. Go up 3-0. Go up 3-0. First time since 1973. Maybe if they do it, then the Dolphins eventually will do it. 1973.
All I care and want to hear about is what's the get in the door price.
I know that from what I saw, the cheapest tickets was like $2,000. And that's like,
it's crazy.
I think not that I would ever pay that, but to see the Knicks in the finals, I think that's
you know Spike Lee's on the sideline, and Ben Stiller will be down there, and Timothy Chalamet.
It's a who's who's. Yeah, that's who's who's.
Them tickets are crazy.
$3,000 ain't that much to get into NBA finals. People pay $3,000. People pay $2,000 to get into a Super Bowl. Why would I not pay that money to get
into the Super Bowl? Is one game.
Discretionary income, Omar. Good for you, man.
No, sir. You know that. I do not.
Not a whole lot of people do. It's like it's.
Yeah.
No, the cheapest price right now is $4,009. Jesus. All the way up in the nosebleeds.
It's ridiculous.
That's plus crazy. Fees. That's not included.
I'd rather just watch at home at that point. You need binoculars to see anything.
Bro, they got section one, $178,000.
That's crazy. Somebody asked me if the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl, would I go? And I'm like, no, I'll stay right here. I'll live stream it. I'll hang out. I'll make money instead of spending money.
I'm
going to have to be there, man. Titi will be there. You'll hear him out of all the fans. You'll hear
him screaming. I'll be crying all week. We finally believe.
With this being the last week of OTAs before they go on about a 6 week break, what is left to achieve for these guys before they, go on their break? Because one of my subscribers was talking about, because it kind of seemed like the offense is starting to get into a groove.
Yep.
Is it more about because
what was that I roll for? Alex Bard. Did they not perform in the last two practices better than they've done all OTAs we've watched?
Sure.
Jeff Hafley said the last five. There.
A little bit by little. Because Malik is – the offense really isn't that different, right, for Malik and for the Washingtons and for Dulcich and stuff, because you have that Shanahan thumbprint with Slowick and with LaFleur and with McDaniel, so – isn't it more about the verbiage with the offense?
Nobody will tell me.
That's usually, but that's what they always tell you is it's like, I don't know how many players I've heard say the same thing is like, one system from another. The variance is insanely smaller than what a lot of folks make it out to be. A lot of it is just the terminology is different. And particularly when you're coming in a system that's from the same tree, a lot of it's going to be the same with some Bobby Slowick tweaks here and there. And then the way they phrase things is going
to
be different.
The way they phrase the different languages. I had an NFL veteran told me once you're past 7 years in the league, you know, he was a defensive guy. Everything is the same. Cover two is cover two. Cover one, zone. Like there, but that's defensively, where you know, hell, they make checks at the line of scrimmage, and you know what you're supposed to do. You know your job. When you're a defense player, offensively, I think it's a little bit different. But for running, you know, they say tight end, wide receiver. Tight end, wide receiver, obviously quarterback is at the very top. The easiest position to play is running back, and that the only challenge is third downs and pass protection. And offensive line, you should be able to play offensive line because it's very simplistic. But other than that, you know, wide receivers have to learn route adjustments, have to learn hot reads, have to learn checks at the line of scrimmage, hand coding. Like all kinds of stuff. This they do this, we adjust to this. So it's harder for them. And tight ends, they just have too many jobs.
And that's where the struggle starts because the quarterback has to be able to trust that they'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that comes through repetition, which is why the more they do it, the sharper it's going to look, yes. Which is why with Tua and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, at some point it was working like this. Why? Because they had so many damn reps together, which is also why when you put in a subpar backup in the game, that's not Tua, and he doesn't have those 1,000 practice reps, it's not going to look the same.
Yeah, or you put in wide receivers in there that are lackluster, mediocre.
Claypool.
Can't even do the motions. You got to water down your offense, and then you water down your offense. It makes you easier to play, and then it makes you easier to play, makes you easier to expose. And
particularly if you have a quarterback who needs like that constant.
Yeah. Then you got to water it down more when the arm dies. And
yeah, you know, then you got to water. You're right. Then you got to water down more when the arm fades. Oh,
I forgot about that part. You neuralized me. You made me forget what I wanted to say next. So obviously we expect the defense to be a little bit ahead of the offense, but
I want to see the defense take out their bat and start swinging it because they're not doing that yet. They'll blitz from here and there.
But if they can't?
They can.
They're not going to in the spring.
I've seen some blitzes. Some of yours is better plays, not yours. Yes, him too. Some of Malik's better plays are when he's been blitzed. I remember one play he was being blitzed by Dante Trader, and he threw a very impressive pass, and I was like, okay. And then the slide when old, what the hell is this boy's name?
Ojabo.
Ojabo pressured him on that play that y'all saw and the Malik Washington catch. Like the Dolphins really cut that play. They did a poor job.
Disservice.
Just absolutely. Am I lying, Pupar? It's better than they made it show. They showed it on a highlight.
Malik Jenkins?
It was a good play. It would have made an NFL highlight reel. Then the man did a handstand on his head. Like celebrate. It was beautiful. It was good. Continue, they show you Omar. None of that.
Continue.
That would have sold some tickets. I couldn't have shut you up if they showed you that on that full highlight. I wouldn't have been able to shut you up.
I'm going
to
see it all season.
TD has a body pillow of Malik Willis.
He's on the way, Doug. I ain't getting it yet.
He won one side. He's cuddling his wife, and then he rolls over, and he's got Malik Willis on the other side.
I'm dying to week six, and Malik Willis has a stinker of a game. I just want to hear what TD got to say. I just want to hear.
Listen, the receivers weren't in the spot that they should have been in.
Receivers, offensive line, it's everybody. Coach,
you got to worry about that. See, here's the difference. If Malik have a stinker of a game, at the end when he still got a shot to win it, he going to go take it unlike other people. Because other people have had stinkers and an opportunity to redeem at the end and never could quite get it. That's all that matters. You know how many stinkers Josh Allen has? But in that last drive, nobody remembers it was a stinker.
Touche. Well played. Well played, sir.
That was my biggest knock on that.
Cannot even counter that argument. Cannot.
Inconsistency and... When it came on the line, yeah, that was my biggest knock on that who shall not be named.
Clutch gene. You know that 2-minute warning gene.
I believe it's called the it factor.
Yes, he did not show you that it.
Yeah. And thing old Marvin waiting years for. Yeah.
Six.
You about to see it. You about to see it, old Marvin. <You'll> learn today.
I'll be celebrating if it show up.
Real quick before we get to the donations, though, Alan brought up a good topic off camera, and that is Sorby, the Texas Tech quarterback, is going back to college. It was the Texas court or Supreme Court?
No, it's a federal judge.
Federal judge.
In Lubbock, Texas, home of the Texas Tech Red Raiders, who ruled that he should be allowed to play for Texas Tech. What a coinkydink. How amazing how that worked out, despite having admitted to gambling on his teams, which is believe rule number 1A of the code of conduct or whatever it is for NCAA players.
If he has a crazy good season, right? Mm. Is he still first round draft pick?
Hell no.
Because of that gambling addiction?
The NFL will not touch a player with gambling stuff.
A year removed from it and a great season. Letting time heal it all.
But would you use a first on him? Is what I'm saying.
Mm-mm.
Again,
where you fall.
Dude, we're talking
Shador tank. Shador stock tank because of arrogance. You gamble on games that you played in.
But he humbly gambled. He did it.
He did it humbly. How do you humbly gamble? Hey,
listen, they will pow him, but I think if he has an amazing season where he's a first round talent, they'll give him a slap on the wrist and he'll be a second round pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like second, third. He'll fall. Yeah, but he'll fall.
I don't think I looked at him when this whole thing began, and I don't think he's that dope. If he was that dope, he'd be in the draft. This is a weak quarterback draft class. I think he had the potential and promise to be a top 3-round selection, but I could say that about a lot of people. The whole gambling thing, when I actually looked into it, whoo, terrifying. The NFL, you get caught gambling on the game, you're done.
Yeah.
You're not coming back. You get caught gambling on an NFL game, much less a game that you're playing in.
Is Pete Rose still not in the Hall of Fame, or did they put him in the Hall of Fame?
In the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose will never get in the Hall of Fame.
Same thing.
But here's the thing, though, is it saved the Dolphins and other teams the dilemma of what do we do with this guy in the supplemental draft? Had he been made available?
That's a good question.
If he was that dope, he would enter the supplemental draft instead of going to college. But he'd taken that $6 million.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you think he'd be in the supplemental draft and no team would touch him, I'd be
tempted. I think he'd get a third.
They consistently mentioned the Dolphins, and I thought that was extremely irresponsible, but not surprised. And it's really only one person who consistently mentioned the Dolphins and consistently talked about this guy. Who? Ooh. What?
Who?
Who? Nah, I ain't naming names. I ain't no snitch.
When? Sorry.
You're not a Landon Roberts.
Don't you do that. Don't you do that. No, I don't want no smoke from a Landon. He got nothing but time on his hand. What was I going to say? If he actually... One, the Dolphins would not draft, would not take him in the supplemental round.
No.
Why are we so sure? The Dolphins need to find a franchise quarterback. They are thinking, hoping, and expecting that Malik Willis will be that guy. Can they be certain, though? Sorry, TD. Can they be certain?
Down, Alex. Sit down. Ain't the message we sent.
Bro.
Can they be certain?
We're talking about a practice squad quarterback right now.
Who?
Sorby.
Oh, come on, man. Seriously.
Bro, he ain't that dope.
Talent.
He's dope. Than the number 3 and 4 quarterbacks on the Dolphins roster currently right now.
Oh, he's way better than them.
Okay, yes. and the ceiling is.
I mean, if you're Miami and he into the supplemental, wouldn't you, even though you know you probably wouldn't get him, at least throw a fifth out there just in case everybody slides on him and, whoa, he went for a fifth.
I don't think you want to add that type of person to your culture of your organization.
Quick question.
Talk about it and be a hypocrite now. That's the one thing that I have an issue with. And they talk about competition and, oh, it's going to be competition. Oh, everybody's going to compete. I ain't seen no competition yet.
But so, because maybe the leaders have taken off.
What, Poupard?
Everybody says that all the time.
I know, but don't talk. Don't hammer it. Don't like hammer it. They and then give me nothing.
Do that and say that again, except for some, especially first year head coaches on a bad team. They're all going to say that.
Bro, everybody on this team is in a position based on stature right now, and they're stuck in those roles, and it's like, okay, did they earn those roles, or are you just putting them there over based on pedigree and draft stats?
Where are you seeing that? Because I see competition in the cornerback room. I see competition in the safety room.
Nope.
Wide receiver room.
Nope. Careful, Omar, you're gonna get pow-powed.
See, but hold on. But making the investment, it's still competition, even if the young guys ain't there yet. It's the investment is competition alone.
Ain't happening.
But there are certain spots where you can talk about competition all you want, but Zach Sealer is going to start. I'm sorry. You can talk about competition all you want.
Okay, but Zach is not practicing now. So who stepped up?
Okay, I'm talking about Jordan Brooks, Patrick Paul, Aaron Brewer, Caden Proctor, Chris Johnson, competition, and those guys are going to start. I mean, Malik Willis, Devon Achan. I mean, it's like.
I understand that, but Devon Achan ain't working now, and you don't want to look at it? You don't want to even just test it out?
Test what out?
You know what. You know what. Don't act like you don't know what.
And it's a spring, and we can
label
this. It is a spring, but don't talk about it and not deliver it. Don't talk. If you won't talk about it, put out.
Okay.
Anywho. I have one question, and I just need a really quick answer. Then we'll get to the donations about the supplemental draft. Is it like the draft where they have like a certain amount of time to make their pick? Or is it like anyone want this guy? You. Okay, well, you're first, and then they move on to the next round.
Make your submission, and then it's based on draft order.
Okay, so it's not like, okay. That's all I need.
You want to give a fifth, or they want to give a – the last player taken in a supplemental draft was like a UF quarter cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And Proctor was taken in the quarterback from Ohio State.
I mean, Terrell
Pryor.
Terrell Pryor. Yeah.
And Manuel Wright. Don't forget Manuel Wright.
So what? You'll say like, oh, I'll take him in the third.
That was a long time ago. That's old.
If a team's like, we'll take him in the second, then they'll get him.
If nobody else made a second round offer.
Correct. And it's done electronic.
Okay. Golden Thumb asks, did you see Mike McDaniel on Dan Soder ex-girlfriend story? No.
I had heard about it, tried to start watching it, and they were talking about stuff from their childhood, and it was, shockingly enough, it was belaboring any point that they were making, and I gave up very quickly.
Dan Soder's funny as hell, though. He does a really good Andre the Giant and Macho Man Randy Savage. Glenn, with the tenor, says, Omar, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're saying. You do most quarterbacks.
Get hurt sitting in the pocket more than the running. Even running QBs get hurt in pocket, not running. I agree. Quarterbacks do get hurt in the pocket, but if you're going to run the ball 8 times, you're going to expose yourself to 8 hits, whereas a quarterback probably shouldn't be hitting more than 5 times in a game. So now you put those 5 times you get hit in the pocket with the 8 times you get hit, your body is banged up. And if you're not built to handle that, you eventually going to wear down.
Yep. Garpo said, sending love from my vacation spot here in Scotland. Shout out to you. Love y'all. Keep it coming, fellas. Appreciate you, Garb Gump.
Yes, always appreciate you.
Uh-oh. Winnow TV. To the man, the myth, the liar, TD. After seeing your quarterback in OTAs, are you still thinking he is Lamar? Or is he more like Kyler Murray?
Okay. He's better. He's going to be better than Josh Allen this year, Lino. That's all I got. That's all I have to say. So get ready.
Jonathan said, is Lamar Jackson a Hall of Fame quarterback if he never wins the Super Bowl?
Eventually.
In a heartbeat.
Eventually.
Vic's not in yet, right?
Vic's not in.
Now, will he get in because of the dog fighting, he won't get in?
Who?
Vic.
I don't think he'll get in.
Because of the dog fighting?
That's not going to help him. And also, he didn't have enough great years to warrant
it.
And Lamar Jackson still got to put up another 4 or 5 years of greatness, which we expect him to do. Because if he retired today, he's not going to the Hall of Fame.
I disagree with you.
If he retired today,
he's a two-time Hall of Fame quarterback who was basically
two-time MVP. You talking about?
Yeah, that's good, but he still got to have a longevity.
Nah,
dude, he's been in the league for 8 years already.
Y'all trying to put Andrew Luck in the
Super Bowl wins don't necessarily make you a.
Thank you.
It gets you to the front of the line, though. It gets you to skip a lot of people.
Yeah, that, or you just have to be like a generational player. Correct. Like him.
Right? He's a generational player, but so is Josh Allen. How many players are you going to let? It's very interesting to me, like the Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Glass, Kropp. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many of Eli Manning, how many of those guys are going to get in?
All of them.
Did Eli didn't get in, right?
No.
He will. Are we underestimating the longevity and actually on leaderboards of all time numbers and all of that stuff?
Eli Manning.
Can we stop on numbers
in general?
Dwight Stevenson made the Hall of Fame after playing 8 years. Why? Because he was an all-timer at center. You're going to tell me Lamar is not an all-timer at quarterback?
No, he's not an all-timer at quarterback.
Two-time MVP. He's kind of
a generational player.
So you're putting Lamar Jackson in the top 10 all-time quarterbacks?
Mm. No.
He's not even the best quarterback of his era.
He's up there.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah, Josh Allen, all above him.
Okay, he's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation.
That's top three. I don't know. I could not disagree with you more. And to me, Lamar Jackson should go in 8 times before Eli Manning goes in.
I think we all can agree he'll go in. It just depends when with Lamar. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think Lamar's the first ballot if he doesn't win a whole Super Bowl?
Eventually, if he does what he's done the last 5 years, but we have no proof that his body's not going to betray him this season.
I'd say right now he's not a first ballot, but right now to me he is a Hall of Famer.
Is Tariq a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, he got 10
first ballot.
Season, right? Yeah.
9. Yes.
Yeah. First ballot,
and he got the Super Bowl.
Poupard.
If his career ended today, no, he's not a first ballot.
And then Glenn,
and he's gonna get dinged rightly or wrongly for the off the field.
Rightly.
Then Glenn with another tenor says, if Sorsby. Has a great year in college. No gambling. He will be a first-round pick. Miami took a quarterback that had a career-ending hip injury. Did not even evaluate him before the pick. They evaluated him before the pick. There's no way they didn't evaluate Tua before they picked him.
I'm living in.
There's no way. Well, but there's also a difference.
Because of the hip injury, they couldn't do a full evaluation.
Every team got a video of his workout. They couldn't.
And they got all the reports from the doctors. And yeah, you got a full eval.
No. They did not evaluate him properly. It's true. Nobody got to bring him in for a workout. Everybody got a video of his workout.
Yeah, but they got information and they got the doctor's report.
He
played 6 years, and was anybody talking crap about the hip in 22 and 23 when the numbers were good? And all of a sudden the numbers go bad and it's like, oh, the hip.
Because he re-aggravated the hip and they lied to us.
In 24. And there's a big difference between gambling and an injury. Gambling.
I'm sorry. This league is, especially the way gambling is. This guy was putting his friends to make bets for him. You think that's going to stop?
Yeah, it's that's a way bigger.
He's got an addiction problem. That doesn't go away. It ain't going away.
Mm. Wow. But anywho, thanks for hanging out, everybody. We appreciate you guys. Be sure to hit that like button. Yeah, the guys, Omar and Alan, will be at OTAs tomorrow. So go over to the Miami Herald with Omar Kelly, Miami Dolphins on SI with Alan Poupart, and read their articles after the OTAs. What time could they see your stuff up?
Aiming for 2. Poupart probably be.
Then I'll go 1:45.
Go over there, check them out. Go show the support. They do some great work. All the beat writers, we appreciate. By the way,
very quickly, I'm sorry. I mean, to answer Gary's question here, Gary who's making a donation here. Thank you, Gary. He's asking who's the backup RT. Right tackle, we can't tell you that. That would be in violation of the reporting policy. So
Jesse Davis.
I can tell you who's not good at offensive tackle. His name is Keon Smith.
But like I was saying, shout out to not only Omar and Alan, but also to all the beat writers, because without them, me and TD wouldn't be able to give you some of the information we give us on our channels, which you can go check out. TDYouTube.com/TDFinsTalk and also on Roundtable Sports and myself on YouTube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We will be doing our own little recaps after the boys put out their articles so we know what happened. Go support the beat writers, because without them, me and TD have a hard time putting out some information.
Yeah, Alan hooked me up last week. I was like, hey, man, Alan, how was Malik in practice? Alan was
you
like,
ain't text
man,
me? You ain't text me?
I did. You didn't respond. But anyway,
I did respond. You liar.
Alan was like, we might have the next Brady. I was like, oh sit down, Alan.
No, get this. So I said, he's asking me, like, how good was Malik? I said, oh, no, 7 out of 10. He goes, you sure you don't mean 7.5?
Yeah, it's a curve with you, Alan.
You always got to put those points in there. 7.5, yeah. 6, 7, 9.
Oh, man.
We'll see you guys all Wednesday, same time, 12:30. Enjoy the rest of your day.